The tiny Christian community of Gaza was the focal point of this year's pilgrimage to the Holy Land by an international delegation of Catholic bishops. More than 1.7 million people live in this sliver of territory, sandwiched between Israel and the Mediterranean Sea. The Christian population in Gaza is made up of 2,500 people, of whom Catholics number around 300. When you meet and talk to people in Gaza and ask them what life is like, one word crops up all the time in their replies: prison. Gaza, they told us, is the world's largest open-air prison as a result of the Israeli blockade. Aid workers there told us that only around 200 people each day receive special permits allowing them to exit Gaza. The rest are effectively trapped inside. Among the bishops who travelled on this year's pilgrimage to the Holy Land was Bishop Dennis Nulty of Kildare and Leyland in Ireland. It was his first ever visit to Gaza, and afterwards I asked him to share with us his thoughts and impressions concerning the situation facing the inhabitants of this territory.
The absolute injustice, the absolute sense of people living in a prison, literally in the biggest prison probably in this world, simply surrounded by checkpoints that they can't get in or out, no freedom of movement. Freedom of movement is such an important part. We take it for granted with economic goods. We take it for granted in our own travel arrangements of the Western world. The people of Gaza don't have that freedom. And I found that shocking. It was a difficult visit. But I think that we've got to be there, not necessarily to focus on the difficulties, but focus on the great moments of hope there in Gaza. How the wonderful sisters, the wonderful parish, all the work they're doing, the wonderful centres we went that weren't of Catholic faith, but they were run, you know, on Christian basis and doing such super work for young people.
US Bishop Richard Pates of Des Moines was another member of the bishop's delegation who visited Gaza. Whilst respecting and supporting Israel's right for security, he says the restrictions faced by the people of Gaza are a violation of a basic human right.
Well, what I struck and heard by being in Gaza was kind of an understanding, I think, that's really at the heart of some of the relationship between the two countries, and that is security. Now, security can also be obsessive. You know, people who are in jail are secure, and the people outside the jail, you know, have the freedom to which they are entitled. The question is, in terms of trying to achieve security, have the Israelis created a jail for the Palestinians, in which they do not have freedom, so that the security might be regarded as obsessive, that impacts others in terms of the exercise of their basic human rights, freedom of movement, freedom of opportunity to exchange and be people, and to have a sense of really being human. So I think what came home to me there again, but perhaps more so than ever, was yes, people have a right to security, but do they have a right that that security then begins to impinge seriously on the rights of others, the very basic human rights of others?
But what about the people of Gaza itself? How do they feel about the blockade of the territory, as well as the soaring poverty and unemployment of its inhabitants? Above all, how do they manage to keep hope alive in what would seem to be a hopeless situation? Bassam Nasser is a native-born Gazan who works for Catholic Relief Services in the territory.
Well, definitely, we have to continue to be optimistic. We have to continue to hope and struggle for that optimism of the future. But currently, the situation is very hard, very difficult, with very few opportunities available for the people of Gaza, for the young people of Gaza. The blockade is not even allowing people to interact, to exchange with the rest of the world. People are feeling isolated. But to think about the future, the only thing that people have to carry for that future is the hope that things will be different, that external factors enforcing the hard conditions on Palestinians will be removed, and people will be free to travel, people will be free to search for jobs, and more opportunities will be available for them where they live here in Gaza.
The majority of this year's pilgrimage was spent in and around the city of Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus. Here we were brought face to face with the daily difficulties for Palestinians living in the West Bank, resulting from Israel's separation wall and the restrictions in movement. On a visit one afternoon to the Kremezin Valley near Bethlehem, we met Palestinian families who were bravely trying to retain hope in a situation where all the odds seemed to be stacked against them. One of the last green areas in the Bethlehem district, this beautiful valley is under threat from the planned route of the separation wall that would cut off 58 Palestinian Christian families from their lands. When asked for his reaction to this looming threat for the Kremezin Valley, Bishop Pate said his feeling was that it was totally unnecessary because the separation wall could take a different route.
Well, I think it was very helpful for me. We were very much aware of the situation prior to this and have raised our own objections to it through our own government in the United States and also to the Jewish representatives, Israeli representatives. But what struck me completely was that it's totally unnecessary. They could build a wall along the Jewish settlements that would provide the security that they need without unnecessarily disrupting the lives of people who have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. So security can be achieved without going forward with something like that. So I think, we use the word bullying, all that sort of thing today. It's first and foremost, the territory belongs, the property belongs to the Palestinians, Palestinian people. It's being occupied today by the Jewish people. Does that give them right to disrupt life when the goal can be achieved otherwise? So there's some real concern about forcing some will on others, creating suffering that is not justified.
During the bishop's pilgrimage, we had the opportunity to meet and chat to a number of young Palestinians, both Muslims and Christians, who attend Bethlehem University, a Catholic institute of higher education. Although Bethlehem is situated only 8 kilometres away from Jerusalem, the two cities are now effectively cut off from each other because of Israel's separation wall and the need for Palestinians to obtain special permits to visit Jerusalem. As a result, many of these young students who live in Bethlehem have hardly ever visited nearby Jerusalem, whereas for their parents this was once an easy trip, taking no more than 15 minutes by car or bus. These restrictions on movement also hamper the students' chances of finding employment once they graduate, as I found out. Noor Kudamet is a 20-year-old Muslim girl studying English literature at Bethlehem University.
For my specialization, it's hard to find a job in literature or writing or the things that I like. But here, the only thing I think I can get is like be a teacher, an English teacher. I'd really like a job that's more creative, that's more about English literature. But I don't think here I can find anything but be a teacher.
Is it very difficult for students to find a job afterwards?
Yes. Here we have a 50% chance of unemployment in Palestine.
Another student I spoke to at the university was Tamara Al-Kassis, a 19-year-old Catholic girl also studying English literature.
It's not that easy because there are many graduates and not many jobs, so it's really, really difficult. So for me, I was thinking to get a scholarship and maybe get a job or higher degree. Then I might get a job, a better job.
Do you want to stay in Palestine or are you thinking of maybe studying abroad or leaving?
Firstly, I'm thinking to finish my degree here in Bethlehem University, and then I want to go abroad and study for my master. Afterwards, I would love to come here, back here, because this is my homeland. I can't leave my homeland. This is where I have been born. This is where my name was born, so I can't leave it.
But many Christian families are leaving. Does that worry you?
Yes, it does. It does a lot, because if everyone leaves, no one is left here, and the place is empty, then we wouldn't have Palestine. So it's sad because we want Palestine because it's Holy Land. You must stay here because Jesus Christ, he was born here. So we must keep it.
In addition to the restrictions on movement and their impact on daily life, there were two other recurring themes that were often a topic of discussion during this year's pilgrimage: the upcoming visit to the Holy Land by Pope Francis and the ongoing Palestinian-Israeli peace process. So do they offer a ray of hope? And can the papal visit have a positive impact on this often faltering peace process? During a visit to Ramallah, that was the question I put to Dr. Nabil Shayaf, a former foreign minister of Palestine and a senior member of the Fatah Central Committee.
Of course it will. This is really a revolutionary pope in a sense. But of course he is the pope, and his importance and his stature in Palestine and in the whole world is such that any gesture he makes supporting peace will be important. In his coming to Jerusalem, he can make the assurance that Jerusalem is for both Christians, Muslims and Jews, that Palestinians in Jerusalem and Palestinian churches in Jerusalem have really the right to be in a Palestinian state in peace with Israel. If he visits Bethlehem, he will, I'm sure, by visiting the lands of Bethlehem and by supporting the Christians in Bethlehem, he would be supporting an end to confiscation of territory and will give support to the people, particularly Christian Palestinians, to remain here in Palestine and not forced immigration somewhere else. And therefore, his visit will not only produce spiritual value, which is very important, spiritual support, which is enriching, but it will also produce influence that will support the Palestinian people and the Israeli people in their quest for just peace.
Turning to the bishops who went on this pilgrimage, what are their expectations concerning the upcoming papal visit to the Holy Land and its likely impact? Bishop Dennis Nulty again.
Pope Francis, when he comes here, when he walks in Bethlehem, when he's in Jerusalem, when he's over in Jordan, he will speak from his heart. Pope Francis doesn't, I suppose, in the best possible way, engage in worrying about niceties. He'll speak it as it is, and that's what people need to hear.
Bishop Richard Pates agrees that Pope Francis's upcoming pilgrimage to the Holy Land is certain to have a strong impact.
I think they'll have a greater impact on the hopes of peace because the Pope has enormous skill, perhaps inspiration of the Spirit, whatever you might call it, to really address a situation with some clarity and enable people to see that clarity and say, yes, that's the way it should be.
In his own remarks on the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, Pope Francis has spoken of the need for leaders on both sides to make courageous decisions to reach a successful conclusion. How many in the Holy Land on both sides of the political divide will be hoping and praying for just that? I'm Susie Hodges.